Church as well. Good morning to Sheffield. We're in our different campuses today. They're joining us for this part of the service. And as my wife, who is going to come and join me, said earlier, if you're new in any of our campuses today, it's your first time at Icon Church, we want to give you a huge welcome. So come on, church, let's do that. You can take your seats. You can take your seats in stocks, whichever. I thought that Jeannie could join me because we did matchy-matchy today. Jeannie got dressed. I thought I'd done something wrong. No. Jeannie got dressed first, and so I was looking for a pink top. So we could really do matchy-matchy. All I've got is a pink golf shirt, but you can't do collar on collar. It's just not allowed, is it? You just, like you will never get into heaven doing collar on collar. All right. But while Jeannie's here, we're in the sixth part of a series on the book of Ephesians. Some of my favourite verses we get to deal with today. And I thought you could read the scriptures. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Really excited, don't you?
Yeah.
Really excited. In Stocksbridge there thinking she's not bothered about this at all.
I can do it.
You can do it. So we're going to read. Let me tell you what we're going to read. So this is the sixth part. Then we're going to take a pause in the Ephesians series, and we'll pick it up in the autumn with two more parts. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Go.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's thank Jeannie. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge your presence in this place. We thank you that you are with us. And as we turn to your word, we thank you that you will speak to each and every one of us in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. What a phenomenal passage this is. Paul praying and praising God in this passage. And it's some of our favorite verses here at Icon Church. And we're going to focus actually on the last two verses of this prayer where Paul turns to praise. And we're very familiar with Icon Church with this, aren't we? Now, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly or immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. We actually use that verse such a lot because we believe it, that our God is able. But he's not just able, he's able to do more, immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And so we're focusing on those verses today. He's been praying for these Ephesian Christians. He's a couple of prayers, actually, in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. And he's come to this moment. He's come to this conclusion of his prayers, how to finish a prayer. And he's come to this place. And he's just got in his prayers to what I would say is the conclusion or the height of his prayer. His prayer's been like a scaling a mountain, where he's been going up. At every stage of this prayer, the vistas, what he can see, is more glorious. And then he goes a bit further in his prayer, and it's even more glorious. And then he gets to the top, and he thinks, wow. So how's he going to finish this prayer? Because he's just prayed that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. And this isn't a vague idea that he's setting before them. This is something he wants them to experience, something he wants us to experience and know, the fullness of God. And you know, the apostle knows that these kinds of prayers, though, can be problematic. And problematic because they can be unbelievable. I mean, he's just gone on this prayer journey up this mountain, and it's got better and better and better. and better. And he hits the height and he realizes this could sound unbelievable. So how can I finish this prayer? Well, he's going to take us through this prayer and how it affects us. And he's going to take us step by step because he wants us to know this. Not intellectually, but he wants us to experience it. He wants us to experience all the things he's been praying for. He wants us to experience the greatness and the power of God. He wants us to know that there's no limit to that greatness and no limit to that power. He wants us to respond by praying ourselves bold, crazy prayers. Because of the God that he sees from this place he's found himself. This is Paul at his most inspirational and intellectual. Some people think the spirit and intellect are separate. They say like, stop thinking and just follow the spirit. Other people say, stop being weird and think about things. Do you know they're false dichotomies, they're false separations? Because here we see Paul, who is highly intellectual, but he's most inspired and is most motivational. And I think we're most like God when we are intellectual, when we use our mind and we actually follow the Spirit. That's when we're most like God. So he's saying to these people, bring your most daring prayers, petitions. Bring your most impossible requests. Add others to them. Let the whole church join in together in their wildest dreams and demands. There is no danger of exceeding the limit. Just think about that. God is so big, so able, you can't exceed the limit of who God is. I was recently in Germany. I had a fantastic time in Germany working with some church planters and church pastors. And when they were taking me back to the airport, we were on the Autobahn. Has anyone else driven on the Autobahn? And there are lots of spaces on the Autobahn, places where there is no speed limit. And so you can drive as fast as you feel comfortable. And my driver was comfortable. Let's just say that. He was comfortable. The Autobahn, it's a flat road, wide road, so I felt safe all the way. But there's this one point where we're doing around. I'll let you determine what around is. Around 120 miles an hour on the Autobahn. And there are cars coming past us as if we don't exist. Flying past us like this. It was incredible. It was fantastic, exhilarating. You see, on the Autobahn, you can't exceed the limit. There isn't one. And with God, you cannot exceed the limit. When you pray to this God, when you come to this God, he has no limits. And so Paul finishes this passage in Ephesians. And he wants us to know and he wants us to remember who this God is. I mean, he wants us to experience these things, that there is no limit to our God. He wants us to know our God is limitless. Limitless. So he concludes this passage with these familiar verses. Now to our God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Just consider, though, for a moment what he's been praying for the Ephesians and why this prayer has taken him to height after height after height in this journey. Let's consider. For one, he said, I want God to strengthen you through his spirit in your inner being. Two, that Christ, the King, would dwell in your hearts by faith. Three, that you would be rooted and established in love. Can you see how he's climbing this mountain? Four, that you would know the depths of Christ's love for you. We could say that you would know the limitlessness of the love that Christ has for you. And five, he hits the mountaintop, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Five incredible prayers, five potentially unbelievable prayers. And how do you follow that? Well, there's nothing you can do except praise. There's nothing you can do except worship. You stood on the mountaintop. It's been a bit of a climb. You're there, but now look what you see, and all you can do is go, wow, this is awesome. This is incredible. And so he says this, now to him. Can you see he's been praying for others, but now he concludes by saying, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Now to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout age after age after age. There's no other way to conclude this section than this. This rush, let's call it that, this rush of praise. He prays that they would be strengthened with all might in their inner man. That's a big and a bold prayer, isn't it? I think we need to pray that prayer today. Because in our inner being, as human beings, there's a challenge to us today. We talk a lot today about mental health and mental fitness, and we talk about emotional health and emotional fitness. And Paul says there's an answer. His name is Jesus. There's no limit to our God. So I pray, he says, that you will be strengthened with all might in your inner man. And if you're going through something today, you don't need to be embarrassed. You don't need to be afraid. But you do need to know that there's a God who is able to strengthen you in your inner man. He says, I want Christ, the King, to dwell in your heart. That as you are strengthened, that Christ becomes King in your heart, in your life. It's a big and a bold prayer that he's praying. That you wouldn't be the King, that no one else would be the King, but that Jesus would be the King. And he prays that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Incredible. Filled with all the fullness of God. And so we have to ask today this question, this first question. Is it possible? It's nice, Paul, that you've had this journey of prayer and you've climbed this mountain, but is it possible? And if it is, what makes it so? And Paul has the answer. He knows that what makes these things possible, why we can experience them, Sheffield, today, is the grace of God. This has been given to us through Jesus Christ. We can't do anything to earn it. We don't have anything in our lives, in our being, to deserve it. But nevertheless, it's been given through Jesus Christ to us. So let me say it again. There's nothing more that he can do but praise God, because he realizes that this is a gift. It's been given. There's nothing else he can do but give thanks. He wants all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise to go to God, because there's nothing we can do. It's possible only through Jesus Christ. The second question we have to ask is, do I want it? Do I have a desire to join in? Am I stirred by the same feeling that Paul is expressing here? I hope you can sense, you know, even in the way I'm preaching this message, I hope you can sense his joy, his anticipation, his expectation for God to do great things in the lives of these believers. And our question today is, have we got that same desire, that same joy, that same expectation for God to do great things in us and in this church, our church? Do we have the same revelation today that we can be filled with all the fullness of God? You know, it doesn't happen instantaneously. But do you know the Bible talks about that we can go from grace to grace to grace? We sang a song earlier today here in our Chesterfield campuses, grace upon grace. That actually the grace of God builds in our lives, the work of God builds. Do we have the same revelation that we can be filled with all the fullness of God? Perhaps we should ask ourselves today, do I really believe? Am I truly in the faith? Are we in it with him? Are we with Paul in it this moment? Or do we think, maybe you think today he's gone too far. He's lost it. That's too fast. One of the cars came past us as I was on that journey, and I thought, man, that's too fast. We could think about Paul that way today. He's lost it. He's gone too far. Maybe he's become too emotional. Maybe he's got too loud. Maybe he's too excited. I picture Paul bouncing as he writes this to the Ephesians. I picture him stood bouncing as he writes this. And I picture him bouncing because I'm a bouncer. I know some of you in worship are swayers. Some of you are American football fans. Like that. Some of you like to carry TVs. But I'm a bouncer. Some of you are rockers. Anyway, let's not get into all of that. But I picture him so excited and filled with joy. And maybe a third question that we need to ask this morning is it for everyone or just for a few people? Is it just for special people? Is it beyond our reach, my reach? Is it just for people like pastors or missionaries or monks? People like that. But Paul says to the Ephesians, I'm praying for you, for all of you, each and every one of you. I want you all to know this. I want you all to experience this. So let's ask, does it well up within us? Could it well up within us? Could we anticipate praising God like this? Could we become bouncers too? Maybe. You know, I believe this matters because in Psalm 81, there's a lament. It's not the people that are lamenting or the psalmist that lamenting, but it's a lament. God is lamenting. Let me read it to you. Psalm 81, verses 13 to 16. God speaking, if my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. God says, if my people had have believed me, how quickly I would have rescued them. But they didn't believe. They looked to their trouble and not to their God in the midst of their trouble. Are we like Israel today? Do we think Paul went too far? Paul thinks the Ephesians might think this way. And so his prayer reveals his longing for them. God, strengthen them through their inner being. Do you need that today? Your heart, your mind strengthened. That Christ the King would dwell in their hearts as a result through faith, he prays. Lord, they would be rooted and established in love. Do we need that today? Do we need more love for God and more love for one another? For that they would know the depth of Christ's love for them. Do you know that? Do you know that God loves you completely? I want to let you in on a secret. I believe this with all my heart. God couldn't wait for you to wake up this morning. He couldn't wait because of his love for you. He couldn't wait to spend the day with you. He couldn't wait for you to be with him in his presence. He just couldn't wait for that. And five, do we need to experience being filled with the fullness of God? Paul tells us that the way we experience this is through his power. He's been talking about it already to the Ephesians. In chapter 1, he talks about God's incomparably great power for us who believe. And he says that that power was the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And he says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that conquered the grave, the same power that has exalted Jesus to his right hand for all ages, that power is at work in your life and is at work in my life. The same power that raised Jesus. So in my final few moments, I say that to give you hope. My final few moments. I want to just focus on that power, the power of God that Paul says we can experience. The first thing is this, it's beyond all that we can ask. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask. John Newton says this, he said, when you pray, first stop. Before you say anything, stop. Remember who it is you are about to pray to. Who it is that you are about to converse with. Stop. Do this so that your prayers do not remain small. God is able to do more, immeasurably more than we can ask. Now, we know that God is interested in every detail of our life. Big things, little things, small things, incidental things. If it matters to you, it matters to God. We know that. But we also have to remember that God has big plans, big desires, big dreams. He can do immeasurably more beyond all we can ask. Then the apostle says he can do beyond all that we imagine. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Asking is one thing, but imagining in is another. Have you ever thought about something and thought, if only that were possible? Imagine something and thought, if only. Well, Paul says God is so great, his power is so absolute, that he is not limited even by our imagination. He's not limited. Do you remember when the angel visited Mary and told Mary she was going to give birth to a son who would be the Messiah? And Mary said, how can these things be? I couldn't imagine that, Mary is saying. How will this be? These are the verses, Luke 1. How would this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High, the power of God, will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, for no word from God will ever fail. How can this happen? How could this be? The power of God, the angel said. The disciples, after a rich young ruler had come to Jesus, and this rich young ruler had said to Jesus, how could I be saved? How can I enter the kingdom? And Jesus says a few things, and the guy says, well, I've done all that. Ever since I was a youngster, I've done all of that. I've met all those requirements. And then Jesus says to him, you need to take some of your riches, and you need to give it to the poor. And the Bible says that he walks away sad. And the disciples see this. He walked away sad because he loved his riches more than anything else. And the disciples ask this question, who then can be saved? If this is the bar, if this is what you're saying, who can be saved? And Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 27, what is impossible with man is possible with God. God is able to do more than we might imagine. You might have somebody in your world and you might think they love this too much, they love that too much, they love themselves too much. They will never serve Jesus, but what is impossible with man is possible with God. The disciples and Mary, just like us, have moments where we think the promises of God are unbelievable. And so Paul here reminds the Ephesians, and he reminds us that God's power is so great and so absolute that he can do beyond what we ask and beyond what we imagine. Immeasurably more, Scripture says. Immeasurably more. I meant to pick up a tape measure. Just to illustrate, you can't measure it. How much more can God do? This much more? That much more? He can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And then the final thing is, he can do this according to the power that's at work within us. The same power, remember? According to the power that is at work within us. And Paul is saying this because he wants the Ephesian Christians, and he wants you and me to remember today, this power is already working in you. Many Christians read this verse and we think, oh, we've got to get more power. You know, we've got to get more power. But Paul says this power is already at work within you. And maybe you and I need reminding today that God's power at work in your life. So let me try and remind you. There was a time you did not believe. Remember that? You had no interest in Christ. Maybe you were even antagonistic. You thought Christians were just crazies. You know, weak, maybe. Maybe you called yourself, there are people I know in this room, but maybe this is you. You called yourself an atheist. But somehow God has met you. And his power found you. And his grace has saved you. And you, yes, you, you're in the room. You're worshiping Jesus. You are saved today because we all have a story, and that story includes the power of God. How God touched us, how God reached us. At one time, your desires might have all been about ourselves, what we wanted to achieve, what we wanted to do. But we've come to know Christ. We've come to know Jesus as Lord, and our desires have begun to shift. And so now we have a desire for his kingdom to come. We have a desire to serve others and to bless others. We have a desire for his church. And I don't know about you, but still my desires are shifting. The more I know Christ, the more I follow him, the more I see how glorious he is, my desires are shifting. But of course, Paul's biggest argument is his life. Look at me, he says. Look at my life. Because I hated Jesus. I hated the church. I was positioning myself to kill Christians. To me, these were followers of a false Messiah named Jesus. And I'm on the road to Damascus. I've got papers to say that I can kill Christians. But the power of God changes my life. The power of God's at work within us already. And so this man, this Pharisee of Pharisees, as he calls himself, Paul the Apostle, the same man is now living to build the church, to encourage believers, to establish congregations of the church. He wants to see all men and all women come to faith, men and women of all races. He once thought that it was only Jewish people that were special and called by God. Now he says this is for everyone. This is open. How did that transformation come about? The power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And that power of God, he says, is at work in you, and it's in work in me. Each and every one of us. Just let me share a couple of verses and that he mentions earlier. In chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, he says, remember that you were one time, he's talking to Gentiles, non-Jews, you were one time separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jews and Gentiles, you wouldn't have had anything to do with each other. You were once excluded from the promises, but the power of God has included you and brought you in. He talks to individuals in chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. And he means dead. He means powerless. You were living, but you were dead. You were the walking dead. You weren't a person, you were a zombie. You were walking dead. You had nothing of the life of God in you. He says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Not asleep, but dead. But he goes on to say, but God, who is rich in mercy, made you alive with Christ. Is anybody thankful for the power and grace of God today? I want to just invite the band to come back, because we're going to finish like Paul. What an incredible prayer he has taken this journey up this mountain. And he gets to the final vista. And he just worships God. And that's how we're going to finish this message this morning, just by worshiping God. But a few things to say before we do that. Therefore, if you've known this power will continue to fill you. This power has not stopped working. It will continue to work in your life. And as you and I follow Jesus, we will be filled with all the fullness of God. You know what I'm going to say now, don't you? They know in Sheffield, they know in Stocksbridge, the best. Come on, let's all say it together in all our campuses. The best is yet to come. Why is the best yet to come? Because we are following Jesus. We're living with Jesus. We are climbing this mountain and understanding and experiencing the power of God. And the more we follow, the more we are filled with the fullness of God. We'll go through things we didn't expect, anticipate, trouble, challenge in our life. We didn't want it. We didn't invite it. We didn't expect it. But in it, we'll see the goodness and the glory of God. And it will be another step up our own mountain on our own journey of seeing the glory of God. And as we follow, we will be filled with the fullness of God. How is God going to reveal the working of this power? So far, we've thought of this power at working as individually, and Paul wants us to know that, but he's saying something greater, that there's something even greater than God's power in you and God's power in me individually. It's the power that's at work in the church. Consider this. Ephesians 2, 11 to 14. Remember that you were formerly Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves circumcised. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the promises of God, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once away, far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He said, God has created this thing called the church, this people, people of every tribe, nation, tongue, no distinction. No distinction. Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, all one in Christ. English, French, hard to believe, united in Christ. Only the power of God. All one in Christ Jesus. And then he says this in Ephesians 3, verses 10 to 11. By the way, that was my attempt at a joke. I love you. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And so how does he finish his prayer? To him be glory. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Not just now, but throughout the ages of ages. You and I are going to be there in the ages of ages, still giving glory to God and still declaring, now to him be glory in the church. And so, as we close, how can you and I apply this message? Let's pray bold prayers. Let's pray bold prayers. Let's do what John Newton said. Stop. Remember to whom you're talking. Remember his power. Remember his greatness. Recognize that his power is working within you. And pray bold prayers. Bring your most daring petitions. Bring your most impossible requests. Add others into them. Let the whole church join together in their wildest desires and demands, because there is no danger of exceeding the limit. I shared this week with a group of pastors, there's some things I've not prayed for other people, because I thought it was beyond the limit of what I could pray for. But today, it's not about me. It's not even about who I am. It's not about how I feel about praying for the thing. It's stop. Remember who you're talking to. Remember who you're praying. Nothing. You can't exceed the limit with God. So will you join in? Will we join in? I want us to pray some bold and some daring prayers. We're going to worship. I'm going to end the message there, and we're going to worship. But at the end of our service, in all of our campuses, there'll be a prayer team after the service is closed. And maybe you're here today and you need some prayer for healing, but maybe you've stopped praying because it feels beyond what you could think God could do. Well, today, we're not looking at our faith even. We're not measuring how we should pray by our faith. We are measuring our faith by the God that we can see from this vista that we have been taken to. Maybe today there's things in your family and you want to pray for them today. I want to just encourage you, whatever it is, pray some bold prayers today. If there's some bold prayers you need to pray in your life, just come and pray with somebody in Stocksbridge. Come and pray with some of the prayer team. Come and pray and ask for prayer in Sheffield with the prayer team. Here in Chesterfield, come and pray. If you're online and you need some bold prayers today, just message the team that are serving as our online team that are serving us right now as you're watching this service. We need to pray some bold prayers because our God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to the power at work within us. Come on, let's stand to our feet. And would you say that with me? This is how I'm going to say it. I'm going to quote it like this. Our God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us. Would you join me? Try and remember that. Let's follow along after three. One, two, three. Our God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to the power at work within us. Church, I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Have an incredible week. May God bless everything you do this week. Thank you.